Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Free Agent Podcast. Today, I'm lucky enough to have David Manteca. David, thanks for joining.
Hey Bo, thank you. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this as well, particularly because we're going to talk a little bit about the fractional landscape, but then how there's a whole slew of new tools that have been introduced recently with AI. And some of them are exciting. Some of them, I believe, are a bit of a gotcha. But prior to that,
Oh, you got some hate. I like that. It's gonna be fun to hear this.
maybe a little, but prior to that, I want to kind of jump in and give you a quick bio. But so you've been in the training business for 31 years. You've led large multi-million dollar product lines at companies such as Global Knowledge, served as VP of Sales at Conversion Communications, building out its partner model, and founded ASPE, growing that to set $13 million in 7 years and eventually exiting. Most recently, you acquired a company, Skills Development Group's North American Operations, and recently rebranded them to Soft Ed. So
That's it.
that's it. So since 2001, you've delivered thousands of talks on marketing, project management, executive management, and leadership with a focus typically on IoT and AI, and you're based in the Raleigh-Durham area. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Hey, Bo, thank you very much. You make me sound special.
Yeah, so I did obviously a bit of a bio, but I'd love to hear from you kind of, in 30 seconds, who you are, what you do, and what you do for whom.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about the fractional space. I decided in 2016, as I was getting older, that I needed the plan B after doing a lot of career coaching for somebody who I still do the career coaching with. So I set up a LLC called DTM Services. And I am now on my 512th invoice. I would have never imagined what could have happened with DTM Services. And the plan B's worked out spectacularly for me. It allowed me to do fractional work while still a W-2, understanding and making sure but companies were aware of that. And then just now with what happened with Skills, I was able to convert ownership. So I have my company on one side that my wife owns and my fractional consulting business that I own on the other side. So I got a lot of experience in the space, Bo. I absolutely love it.
Same.
And I'm looking forward to talking to you about AI tools
Yeah.
and all that good stuff.
Yeah, likewise. And I think you brought up a really interesting point a minute ago about the moonlighting component and how fractional work is great, but it is important if you're full-time W-2, at least in my opinion, that your employer does know what you're up to in some regard, nights and weekends. Otherwise, it can be a whole lot of heartache down the road with your W-2 employer, but then also the fractional clients. And I think, keeping those worlds as separate as possible starts with a little transparency, but is a best practice.
Oh, big time transparency. One of the things I did on the W-2 side is I took a less salary on the W-2 side with them knowing I was doing the consulting work. I said, look it, I'm okay with being the W-2. I get the situation that you need. You can't pay me what I'm the normal marketplace can pay me, so let's balance it.
Love
I'm doing the
it.
consulting work. I'm doing this. I get actually the saddest thing about this, Bo, is I have brought so much more to my W-2s because of being a fractional consultant. I see more things, I
Interesting.
learn more things, I try more things. I brought partnerships, I brought new ways of marketing, I brought new ways of selling that I would have never seen if I wasn't doing the other stuff. It to me is kind of sad
Yeah.
that we don't embrace this more as a culture because you get to explore and bring back.
No, I think that's super interesting, and your energy is infectious, and I can feel it. And a lot of folks, myself included, like if I can be creative, my energy goes through the roof. I bring new ideas, like incredible. It's when I'm stuck in kind of the mundane, I'm stuck in a box, that work product kind of decreases, but overall energy and interest in the work itself, kind
Yeah,
of.
it's exactly what happens. And you can bring things from the outside. I mean, the ones you want in some of your leadership roles, you want certain types, right? Yeah, some people are detail oriented, process oriented. They might not be the people that go off and do fractional stuff because that's their structure. That's the way they think, and that's wonderful. But
Right.
then if you want certain types of people who are innovative, who go after and run after new things, who test and try, who are open to failing, those are the types that probably need to be open to doing energy up, to keep their ideas flowing, to keep the information happening, or they do get stuck in a rut.
Yeah, no doubt. I've also seen though, and we'll get that back to the topic here at hand, but I've also seen that there's a difference in personality traits. There's folks that do have a hard time context switching, going from task to task to task. There's others that thrive in that environment.
Yes.
Literally the latter camp, I think, are better suited for fractional work, whereas the former are better suited for interim or more full-time work. But that's probably a topic for another day. Let's jump into things here. So
Oh,
you
I
mentioned.
love to talk to you about that because I learned those skills back as a cook on the line in college.
Yeah, well, I think it's a
Anyways,
personality
that's a fun
trait.
story for another time.
Yeah, no, I think it's a personality trait. It's super interesting, and people really struggle with that. And those that can't switch from task to task are the ones that I find themselves in purgatory with fractional work, and their utilization
Oh, I've
is through the
coached
roof.
many folks who tried it, who had
Yeah.
suffered from that. I've got a really good friend who just says, I can't do it. I go, no, that's who you are, and that's okay.
Embrace it. Embrace it. Well,
Embrace it.
let's talk about AI here for a minute, and fractional. And so, what are you seeing in regards to trends, right? I mean, I feel like it started with the note takers 2 years ago. Now I'll run into meetings where folks have multiple note takers, and
Oh, yeah.
they're taking up basically a thumbnail within the video view, which annoys the crap out of me half the time, but they can be beneficial. But I feel like that was really the start of the trend towards different AI tools. And what are you seeing?
Yeah. I don't even use the embedded note takers. I hate them. They stink. They absolutely stink. I actually use an external tool called Whisper. And
Okay.
Whisper is a product out within the ChatGPT OpenAI environment. I pay $50 a year for it. It is the best transcribing tool I have ever used. I don't turn on the README's. I don't turn on the Teams things. I usually have the speaker out loud,
Yeah.
and I'm running my Whisper transcription service. It
Interesting.
captures everything perfectly. Now, here's the best part about Whisper. Most of us fractional folks are not just doing team meetings. We're doing face-to-face meetings.
Right.
And I can capture any face-to-face meeting anytime. And now, of course, you got to say, hey, I'm recording. Are you okay with being recorded? Right? But I found that Whisper by far, I agree with you. I'm not a fan of the AI pots popping into to meetings and sessions. I get it. I understand why people do it. But for me, Whisper is just becoming a phenomenal. And that is, to me, the number one use case for fractional executive level folks
Yeah.
is note taking using a large language model tool.
Well, a couple of things. First and foremost, I feel like it allows you to be much more present in a meeting, right? Versus
Yes,
you're
one.
taking feverishly notes and trying to digest it as you're hearing 50% of what they're saying. But also, too, what's interesting about the Firefly tools, as an example, I found that when that transcribes a meeting, more often than not, the main theme of the meeting is completely missed by the bot. And they hone in on things that I find is minuscule, and it's like, where's the overarching theme? And then lastly, what I've noticed is that the bot is always on time. Generally, the person is not. And so now, if the person forgets to join or doesn't join, I tell their bot, so they get a little message in their email that I was there, and they went, which is a
It's
best
funny
practice
using
that I like.
you're using Firefly, so you're using probably Adobe Connect a lot. Is that what's going
I'm
on
not
there?
personally. That's just Firefly is the one that I see.
Yeah, so Firefly is an Adobe product, and you know Adobe's been moving more and more into the space, image, voice, the note taking as well. You know, here's the thing I find with Whisper is number one, it captures everything. Number two is I can do sentiment analysis. I can actually ask Whisper the transcription, not Whisper itself. I pull down the transcription, then I put the transcription into ChatGPT, or I put the transcription in the Claude. And as I got the transcription in one of those tools, I could do sentiment analysis, I could do tracking action items. And one of the things I do in ChatGPT is I have a chat window for each one of my clients. And I just keep putting the old each transcription in there. Then I can go back and look at other meetings. I say, how do we stand from the meeting last month to the meeting today with regard to action items? Has there been any changes in attitude between meetings? Has there been any missed elements that I have missed that people have talked about between meetings? I can actually almost in real time engage that complete meeting again. So that has saved me an incredible amount of time because some of my fractional work is coaching. And coaches, you want to provide an outcome after the meeting.
Right.
And the
And
outcome
just
would take
follow
me
what
2 hours.
happened in the meeting before to make sure there's progress.
Yeah, it would take me 2 hours. It would take me 2.5, 3 hours. It takes me 10 minutes. And I can take on more coaching clients. I can think more deeply about the stuff that they do. So how I do it is Whisper, transcription, move to ChatGPT or Claude, Claude and ChatGPT, a window for each client. And then I analyze past meetings. I look at sentiment analysis. I track action items. I dig into transcription. I might even pull copy out of it. Because, you know, when you talk to clients sometimes, you might get in the role and start talking about marketing copy.
Right.
Pull that marketing copy I talked about related to this product, and it pulls it out.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting. I use ChatGPT quite a bit. When it first kind of hit the streets, I was pretty reluctant, to be candid. Sort of using for content creation, for posting. I did find, David, that I eventually developed a little bit of a dependency on it, right? And so like my grammar went to hell, like use of different words decreased, and I had to kind of wean myself off of it. That being said, I do use it. It's generally pulled up in my browser, and I use it every day, often for taking rough notes, synthesizing rough notes. But then also too, we work a lot with fractional executives as well as we do some full-time search, and it helps me with not only the discovery but also like candidate development and candidate delivery and organizing those thoughts so they're succinct, but also kind of hit the high points of what the companies are looking for. So there's definitely some power in these tools. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. Do you still need
Oh,
reviews?
each use case is going to be, is going to be different and by different for different executives for different reasons based on different skill sets. For instance, when I do a lot with smaller businesses, so mission, vision, values. The best tool I've ever seen for getting to the root of mission, vision, values is either Claude or ChatGPT. It's an amazing situation because you get into a situation, everybody's talking, and then they just can't get the right words, and then you put it in, and magically the words come together, and it speeds up that process. I mean, I was able to do a powerful mission, vision, value session with a group, and we were done in 4 hours. And this is we're up to a year now. They love it. They love the mission, vision, value. They're all into it. They get excited about it. And now I also use it for tagline development because I try to get tighter tagline developed, which it really helps out too. And then some type of like if I'm looking at trying to create, different categories of different things, I look for new words around different categories because we get stuck in confirmation bias. So confirmation bias is the fact that our brains just follow the same heuristic patterns and process the same information that we're used to because we're lazy. This tool can actually break some of those trends in your thinking. You can ask it to look at different, hey, I'm seeing this thing this way. Can you give me a different perspective? Can you show me different angles by which I can look at this problem or look
Totally.
at this marketing copy? And that helps out a ton. Another thing it's wonderful for is bio development. If you got to build a bio, oh my gosh. If you got to build a bio for multiple people, like as a CMO for one of my fractional gigs, we had to redo everybody's bio. I got it down to a 5-minute conversation with the person, and I had a three paragraph bio structured, worked out, pulled some information from the internet, and got what was a painful process done. Here's another great use for AI for marketing fractionals is images, doing what do you call it? Headshots. Headshots are a nightmare. There is a wonderful AI tool out there, and I can't remember off the top of my head. We can give it in the show notes afterwards, where you take six pictures of somebody, put it together, and you can actually create like 15, 20 headshots.
Interesting.
Magnificent headshots.
I want to double click on kind of the bio you mentioned a moment ago, and it's kind of a use case that we use as well in the fractional space. So I found that one of the biggest gaps for folks that are looking to become fractionals is like ICP development, ideal client profile. Who are they? Where do they live? What do they care about? Right. That's a big deal. And I found those that have honed in on, who their ICP is are generally more successful than those that aren't. And being open to everything, in my opinion, means you're open to nothing. So with that in mind, we have a simple ICP exercise that I walk people through. It's 10 bullets. We take the output of that, we add it into ChatGPT with some prompts, and build out the story more. But then we can also ask ChatGPT to build out their LinkedIn profile based upon their ICP, build out some customer facing like one pagers, but also messaging templates. And then finally, I use it now as a biz dev tool, and it's not always super effective, but you can also build prospect lists.
Yep,
Of
you
course,
can.
you still have to sanitize the information, make sure that it's tight and clean and hit your ICP. But that's been a really, really powerful tool where you take the ICP, you take the bio, you take the problem, what you solve for, and then you ask it to go find me, 10 to 15 companies that fit my ICP.
And we'll find it.
It will find them. Now, maybe it's 50% or correct or 75% or sometimes 20, but you can refine that, right? Sanitize the list, tighten it up, put it into the machine again and see what happens. And I found that is really powerful. And it also takes, I mean, it takes a long time to get your ICP developed, and this shortcuts it substantially. Is it perfect? No, but it's a great, great, great shortcut.
Yeah, now we could go into so many different use cases. And the thing about the biz dev side is setting triggers.
Right, you
So
mentioned that on kind of
ChatGPT now
the
can actually set triggers. So I have a client that does a lot in SAM.gov. So I've been working with them to actually be able to set triggers for a daily or weekly basis for the bot to go into SAM.gov and find certain opportunities that meet certain criteria.
So let
And
me make sure I understand this. So in ChatGPT, you can create, there's a prompt that will go out on your behalf into the internet and scrape information.
on
Talk
a
to me
weekly
more about
basis,
that.
it acts like a mini agent. You can set up, if it's very specific and it's you point it in the right direction for the right reasons, then you can set up that trigger and it will produce the information for you. For instance, a website. If you're managing some of these websites and you're worried about 404 errors, you can have the tool scrape your website every day to look for 404 errors. We are a schedule company, so we have a lot of public schedule. I set the tool up to look for old dates. Like if there's are there any old dates on our website, please let me know so I can shoot that over to our marketing person so they can clean up those old dates. So it has developed the triggering capability, which operates as somewhat agentically. It's not a complete agentic system, but it operates in a way that can help you. Like for instance, maybe you're looking at a company, you want to get a trigger event for when they hire a new VP. Maybe they post a new bio. Hey, go out to their About Us page, trigger me whenever they post a new picture. Or post a new person on their About Us page.
Well, let's use a real use case here then. So, as an example, I historically have used Google Alerts, right? And so you go in, I've got probably 15 different criteria that I put in. Typically, they're around like who's getting funded in the tech sector, Series A, Series B. That's what I care about because that's generally part of my ICP, right? Because that matters. So, how could I leverage
You would do that.
ChatGPT?
You would answer the same questions in chat. You would ask for the same thing in ChatGPT. You'd say you want to be able to have a cover. You need to have a customer-facing database that you point to. So SAM.gov is a customer-facing database. My website is a customer-facing database. And I say database lightly because anything's a database now because of unstructured data. So anything that's publicly facing, the algorithm can now touch in real time if you point it. And it's a technology called RAG. So if you know those sites, you could say, go to this site and let me know when this and this happened, and check it daily or check it weekly.
And
Go to
how am I
this site and let
alerted?
me know.
Is
What's
it gonna
that?
send me? Is it, how am I alerted? Well,
Sends
say.
you an email. It sends you email to the email you have in your account. So I get emailed to my Gmail account with my right now. I have a client that's looking for business on NC North Carolina's public facing procurement. So I have a chatbot running for her for me every day if I check and see if there's any new things on the procurement. And it
So,
comes and says, no, there's nothing new. There's nothing new. Oh, this has been added or that's been added. And I can shoot that over to her and say, hey, something new's been added. You want to go take a look at it?
okay, let's take this kind of use case a step further. So then I've got a Series A set up for a technology company in the US. So it scrapes that information and sends me an email. Is there a way I could set up some sort of prompt where it's emailing the company or the
Yeah,
CEO?
so now you'd use a technology called 8n8. So now you're getting to a next level of automation. So where we're at is you have generative AI, which is when you're the agent. I'm the agent, I'm engaging the prompt window, and I'm asking the prompt window to do things, and it just add a little bit of autonomy automation to that. But ultimately you can set up a full agentic workflow in ANA. You could say, now that I know this, create an email from this database and then send that email out to that person. And ANAN operates like Zapier. Zapier is an API tool that connects in multiple APIs. ANA is very similar, but then it does the content development, it does the connections into the systems. So you're going to have to get a little bit more sophisticated to take that next step. But if you do that, you're going to automate a significant amount of your time that you could be doing other things. And there are experts that could do that for you. Like I know right now we do training classes, we have an 8n8 trainer who could teach you how to do that.
Interesting. And I love the plug for your company, right? So we'll be sure to put a link there. And,
I didn't mean it like that. I
I
was
think
just
it's
going
great. Hey,
to
always be selling.
Here's the thing that the challenge is use cases. So the problem that people get stuck with is they don't process and think through a use case. So we have at the end of this, we talked in the green room beforehand about the book Co-Intelligence by Ethan Mollick. I get no money for pitching that book, but it's probably still, it was written last April. To me, it's still the best book for really thinking logically and learning about how these things work, right? And his four laws, his first law is use AI for everything. As a fractional person, you should engage the AI system each time you're thinking of trying to do something to see whether it works or whether it doesn't work. And then make a decision. Now, does it work good enough? I'm going to keep doing this myself. Or is there other tools? Like, you're not doing a good job of this. Are there other tools that can do a good job with it? And then from there, he talks about being the human in the loop. That's his third law, his second law. That means any type of insight that AI gives you is not actionable. You still have to review it. It's just a piece of information.
Right.
Then you do something with it. And that's called human in the loop or supervised AI. And then the last thing about AI that I think a lot of fractionals need to be thinking about is you need to tell it what to be. You got to ask it what it should be acting like, who it should be acting like, and direct it accordingly. Then you're going to get better information. But then he goes into multiple iterations of why those four laws are important, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm saying this because I would tell folks for fractionals, most of their work, they should be testing to see what could be done with AI and what can't be done with AI.
So I think that's a great point, and that's something I've gone through as well. I've found that ChatGPT just 6 months ago was the data was pretty poor on like pulling customer lists, and just within the last couple of months, it's gotten a lot better, and I feel like the ramp is really starting, right?
And the other problem is that different tools do different things. Like Gronk is very good at research. So if you're looking at building lists, I would play more with Gronk than I would do with ChatGPT. Claude is really good with scientific information, like explaining deep issues and challenges. Claude is also good at when you load up a very big, deep PDF. Like for my gig, I have to do research. So I throw PDFs up into Claude all the time or ChatGPT, and I ask it to summarize it. Key notes, key thoughts, key ideas within the PDF, like my own crib sheet, my own user, I forgot what was it, crib sheets? I forgot what they call them. The when you had the summaries of all the different great books, but that business is gone because you could do it in these environments pretty quickly. So I would get at this and say, as you get better, as you get more experience, you're going to realize that certain tools do certain things better. Gemini does things better than Claude. Claude things does better than ChatGPT, so on and so forth. And you just kind of get used to that, and you pivot between tools.
Well, so then I'm going to challenge you there with one question. And I feel like the unintended consequence with AI and some of the other tools is that you can find yourself, to your point, pivoting from tool to tool to tool. And I, as an example, have found out an experience that like email automation, LinkedIn messaging, a lot of the channels that worked historically are now just completely flooded with AI, with nonsense. And it's a lot easier for a human to sit back behind the computer and let the automation handle the workflow and the hard work versus getting out there in the trenches. And I found myself victim of that as well with when email automation hit. Now, did it work? It worked, but it also put myself in a position where it was so easy to cast a wide net, versus
Yeah, you're adding to the crapola that's out there in the world, right? And you feel like you're adding to that crapola.
Yeah, so
There's going to become a
how do you
balancing
manage
act.
the deep hard work with leveraging email automation and not over-indexing just completely into leveraging software?
You're going to find balances, right? I have not done any automated email work yet for a couple of different reasons. I've done list build work. I've done a lot of really cool, intricate list build work, but I haven't done the email automation yet. That's just kind of where my line of demarcation has been. That's not to say that if you have customer service messages, you shouldn't be automating. It's not to say that you should use a ChatGTP bot or a Claude bot for customer service when it's an 80-20 thing. Pareto's efficiency says that 80% of your, things that 80% of the things are easy to cover, right? So if you can create a chatbot that covers those and then quickly shoot somebody out when they're not within that box. So I just think we have to be smart and think through what we're going to use it for and how we're going to use it. I like to go between tools just because I know which tool does it better, but I live in ChatGPT. That's my heart. But then I move around where necessary, and I'll most likely pull that information in. The challenge in doing sessions like this, Bo, is the fact that there's so many different use cases that it's tough for us to explain each one. What we have to say is, think of your use case and then try it. Think of your use case and then try it, because each one of us works differently.
Right. And with like kind of how things are continuously iterated and fixed and made better, you know,
Oh,
what
yeah. That's his fourth
currently,
law, by the way. His
yeah,
fourth
30
law
days
is you're
from now may
working with,
work.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. His fourth law is you're working with the worst AI tools today.
That's actually, yes. Yeah.
It's amazing. And so you think, yeah, that's true. So maybe it
Tomorrow they'll be
wasn't
better.
working. Yeah, it wasn't working 2 months ago. Maybe let's try it again and see if it's doing better. Our value is a fractional person's value is number one in getting things done. Fractionals are freaking maniacal at getting stuff done, creating results, executing action. So that means we're really good at working with people, and we're really good at getting people to do things and supporting them and getting them excited and fired up. The other thing is we have deep, rich experience about how to make money or save money. We have the knowledge and understanding of how to maneuver around a business development deal, or how to negotiate appropriately with a vendor to cut things back. So that's what we should be doing human-wise.
Sure.
But all those other pieces that don't do that type of value, it just limits us in the number of clients we can touch, and it limits us in the amount of income we can make.
So yeah, so I'm rereading 10x is easier than 2x, and that's all about kind of low value, low leverage, like don't do it, or now, you know, leverage AI to take care of
Right,
that.
because we're in the outcome game. Fractionals are in the outcome game.
Yeah.
You pay me $10,000 a month, but you're getting the outcomes. If I'm working 10 hours, hey, you're getting the outcomes.
Right. No, I
I
agree.
produce outcomes. Now, do I have to work to produce outcomes? Absolutely. But I might have one contact that can make you $1 million in the right scenario. And shouldn't I be paid? Shouldn't the fractional be paid for that?
Yeah. Well, so I'm a big believer in, again, ICP development, and that's a very fluid thing. And so, you know, every couple of months you should be looking at your ICP. Has it changed? And as an example, we've been in business for 8 years, and my ICP has changed several times. So
Yeah.
it's a tool set, right? It sounds like, you know, you're the biggest takeaway here is the fractional executive. If you're not using AI, that's a hugely missed
You're not
opportunity.
making enough money. You're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, you're
You're
maxing
leaving. You're
your.
missing an extra client or two that you could bring in, and service them just as well because you're fixated on the fact that you should be doing this yourself.
And how often should somebody take an inventory of their tool set stack, you know, to
Oh,
ensure that.
I should. I have. I screwed up. I tell you what, I was going through a problem. There's this new thing called MCP, Multi-Context Protocol, and I was using ChatGPT to analyze it for me, and I was getting contradicting information. And one of the consultant geeks told me, "Dude, ChatGPT looks horrible for tech stuff. You got to use Claude." I was like, "Some sugar," So I would say it's monthly. You just go do a quick snapshot. Hey, what are any updates on the tools? Or, monthly take a webinar on, from a certain vendor about updates and new things, because you do want to keep up to date and pivot accordingly. Here's the thing. Fractionals are really good at continuous learning. I mean, they're amazing at it. And that's what separates us. And it's in this world order, change is just absolutely the norm. And so you have to be a continuous learner to thrive in this changing environment. And that's what most fractionals excel at.
I love it. I love it. Adapt or die. David, thanks for your time. Where can people find you and learn more about you?
LinkedIn, I got a very unique name, David Mantica. I think I'm the only one out there. Just type on in. I got a lot of followers, a lot of content. That's really the best place to catch me. I do a lot of LinkedIn lives. So you see a ton of them out there. We do a lot of free sessions. We have conferences and all that good stuff.
Excellent. Well, David, I really appreciate your time. Sincerely, a lot of information to sift through, a lot of tools that you share, a lot of best practices. And I love the AI approach, you know, AI first approach. it's something that I'm getting more and more accustomed to. Again, I do feel at times it can be a bit of a wormhole. But so long as you're smart,
Right.
you're able to kind of pull yourself up and take an inventory of your ecosystem and surrounding, it can be very, very beneficial. And I use it every day, and it's definitely, created some efficiencies in my own workflow.
Excellent. Well, thank you both. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining.